Dentistry is changing. Technology, education, and resources are closer to our fingertips now more than ever. Are you ready to learn what millennial dentists are doing to exceed patient expectations, enjoy dentistry more, and take more vacations? Or how this generation can join up with the previous ones to make for an unstoppable dental team? Well, wait no longer. Here are your hosts of The Millennial Dentist, Dr. Holsinger, Dr. Payray, and Dr. Sully Sullivan.
Welcome back, everybody, to the Millennial Dentist Podcast. I have my trusty right-hand man, Dr. Daniel Holsinger, next to me.
It's good to be here, everybody. It's been a while.
And a friend of mine, a guest that I'm super excited to introduce, a man who's killing it, and we're going to be seeing big things from in the future, Dr. Don Murray.
What's up?
How are you, man?
Millennials? I'm good.
Dude, I'm exhausted. I had a cluster of an afternoon. You want to hear about my cluster of an afternoon?
Let's hear it, man.
I'm going to tell you about it whether you like it or not. So, by the way, people, we have no agenda here, so I'm pretty excited about this because we're going to talk about a lot of good stuff. So get ready for just a... And normally when I'm had about two beers and I'm kind of frustrated, these are the best content. So I'm pretty excited about this episode. Anyways, let me tell you about my afternoon. So we got back late from lunch because one of our assistants is leaving, so we went and had a going away thing, and we kind of threw this in there.
Isn't that a sweet boss?
Last minute.
Your sweet boss.
But we try to do it like the day, we're at morning huddle, and we're like, Amy's leaving, so we need to do like a thing. Or we had tried to plan it in our defense, but so like, let's just go to the Mexican restaurant for lunch. Well, that, you know, with 12 people, that takes an aggum hour and a half to do. So it's clustered. Mm-hmm. So we get back, and I've got a four-canaled root canal number 15, mm-hmm. with a crown that they've scheduled me an hour and a half for.
Oh, nice.
So I have to do a four-canal root canal on 15, prep the crown, mill the crown, seat the crown, an hour and a half. I'm like, what kind of evil joke is this?
Did you do it?
That's fine.
Well, yeah, I did it, but like I ruined my afternoon. Because so then I had to do, and mind you, this starts at 1:30. I'm supposed to meet my contract at our house at 3:30 to go over some, we're going to do some renovations. So then I have to do two onlays and a filling right after that. So it's a complete cluster. The root canal went well, but you just can't do all that fast. Yeah. Now I'm kind of like annoyed, pissed off. I get my stuff done. Everything looks good. I'm heading home. Walk up, and my wife's like, "You are not gonna like what we hear." And our contractor basically said that what we're wanting to do is we're gonna have to pay like $20,000 to get approved, just because they have to like bring a geologist out and like check our soil and whole thing. You were there. It was brutal. So
it was very painful.
That was my afternoon.
That's tough.
How was your day?
It was good, man.
Donnie, tell us about yourself a little bit. Give people the short story.
I graduated Case Western Reserve 2010, and I joined at that time a one office, two doctor practice, and they were doing it. We've always been a PPO heavy style practice, so they had, you know, single unit, 1 hour crowns out the yin yang, but there wasn't enough for me and there wasn't room for it. So like from the get go, I was like, man, I gotta find a niche here. So I quickly turned from a referodontist to just diving into stuff. Probably stuff I shouldn't have been doing, but trial by fire, right? So just kind of doing whatever I could. And then,
dude, YouTube is a great resource. I mean, oh, it really, yeah, is.
Man. So we found an office like maybe 10 miles down the street, and this guy was actually in really bad health, young guy, really bad health. And in Virginia, you can't own a dental practice if you're not a dentist. So so I was working there on my day off, and then like he just really went downhill fast. And so my brother was in school at the time, so we decided it would be best just to buy a second office. So we acquired a second practice, and then my brother got out, his wife got out, she was a dentist as well. And now we've expanded to three and just hired two more associates and maybe a third. So
holy cow.
See where this goes. Yeah.
So how many offices and how many doctors are there?
Three docs. We just hired our seventh doctor, or excuse me, three offices, seventh doc. My dad just gave us his retirement window. But we're worried that that even with a decent associate, the associate we just hired actually the same age as I am. So he's been out of school a while, just been working corporate. But we don't think he can take the workload yet. So we're thinking two associates equals the output and probably input financially of what my dad's doing.
How is ownership and all those like divvied up? Like, do you own a part of that? Is all the doctors own or associates or how does it work?
We have four equal partners.
Okay.
And two associates, soon to be a third. And we're kind of right at that. I can tell you, my mom's the office manager. My mom and dad have no interest in going beyond what we do because the style has been like, we've tried, and this is not the correct way to do it, but we've taken like a family, like literally family deal and tried to just replicate it into two locations more. And it's been a lot of sweat equity. So they're like, we're done. I mean, they're mentally and physically done, and rightly so.
Is it worth it? Is it profitable? Because, you know, that's something that we've talked about doing, but it's like, we also don't want to kill the golden egg. You know, so we've talked about it because it's hard to reproduce what family can do and like,
yep.
You know what I'm saying?
Absolutely. Yeah. And so that's kind of where we are. And like my 2018 and 2019 is set up to like really get educated on that because like the second one was hard. The third one was exponentially easier. And so what I've heard is like two and three are difficult, but after that, it seems to get a little bit easier because you got your systems down and you understand what you want. Now, here's the problem we run into is like, so we just went down, we were rotating offices as doctors. So at one time I went to all three offices and it's fucking crazy. Like to manage, people don't understand like,
the was your team going different places thing. Or just the doctor?
No, they stayed steady. But picture like Monday was my only day at one office. So at the end of a Monday, I had to finish all the crap that I had to get done because I wasn't going to be back there till the next Monday, right? So it was like, I mean, and then you got to deal with staff drama and like, I had this assistant one time at one of the other offices. I'm going. So I was, this is in front of a patient. Okay. I'm in an operatory and we use Dentrix and the notes are all templated. And so we sign them at the end, whatever. And so we have this list of like, with three offices, we probably have like, I don't know, 15 assistants, something like that. And they're just initials. So you think a day like you had today and you're trying to find someone's initials within this like crazy. Okay. So I couldn't find them. I was like mentally trying to get what it was. And in front of the patient, she goes, "You don't know my name, do you?" And I was like, "Oh my god!"
Oh. So anyway. I've gotten caught a couple times trying to type in the CEREC, and I'm like, they like see me pull up the screen, and then I have to like click, like, "Okay." I always say, "How do you spell your name?" And they're like, "It's Smith." I'm like, "Ah, no, is it spelled the weird way?"
Yeah. So we moved down to two offices, and then we had a consultant all last year, and he tried to push us. So this year, as of August 1, we're down to a single office. So now we have. Which is perfect because I want to niche out. I do things a little bit differently than the rest of my team. A little bit more progressive, like 3D printing and guided surgery and stuff like that. And so this allows me to do that. So it's kind of like I liken it to like we have three different McDonald's now. Like we have regional meetings. Obviously, we meet as partners once a month. But like we, you know, we kind of separate, which I think will work out. I think the teams appreciate it more. The patients appreciate it more. But now the problem becomes if we want to go to four and five and six, like how do you get that ownership that you and I have or feel about our practice without another partner? See what I mean?
Yeah. You always have to buy someone. And like,
so you have to have like, I will never have more offices. This is mentally how I see it. I'll never have more offices than I do owners in the company. Now they don't have to be owners in like a DSO type umbrella. You know, that's what I think the future is, like guys buying into the PC portion of the practice, right? And then having like an overarching
management. You're just basically having almost like a group that you're like, it's like, and which is good because I'm sure you get great deals on, you know, you all go together for cotton rolls. Great deals on cotton rolls.
Yeah, there was 100 offices, 100 dentists just started a DSO in Richmond. And we were like, we went to the meetings. And we feel like we're just big enough to stay on the outside. So we get some of the better talent that wants to leave there staff-wise. We get some of the better patients that just don't like the feel of that. So
really, yeah, you could just bring them up too. Like you bring an associate up, they could build up. And then when they're ready to buy in, you could almost sell them that practice and you could go to another one.
Yeah.
And that means you have to move, but you know, obviously you're going to be more confident about going and replicating that somewhere else than someone else would, but
yeah. And then this model, like what a lot of these guys are doing, this model is like, they're using and they're coming to a new associate. Like they got one associate, like pumping it out, like progress. They're pushing him to like really be an owner before he's actually an owner. And then you hire a new associate and that money is used to purchase another practice, which you give to this associate who's in the wings and now is another, you know, partner of the PC. So that's what I want to do. But like a partnership's great. I've really enjoyed our organization, but there's four of us that get to decide it. So, you know, I can think whatever the hell I want, but it's not like I own my own thing. So I can't just do it.
How are their, what ages are they? Are they similar thinking in you? Obviously, I know you're way more progressive probably, but
yeah.
How does that jive? Like when you're wanting to like buy a 3D printer and they're like, I don't want to pay for that. Or does that not work like that?
we pretty much just do what other guys want to do unless it's just like clearly stupid. Like, I mean, like last month, one of the docs wants an iTero. He's a real big Invisalign guy. We got an iTero. Like we don't, I mean, it's not
that I would consider that pretty stupid, but I'm just kidding. I mean, I'm just kidding.
That's because my scanner can't currently do everything it needs to do. So
that's a fact. That's a fact. So tell me this, what else, what are you doing? Like, what's making you tick these days? I mean, how did you go from, you know, you graduated dental school, you're in this practice. What made you decide to, I don't know. I mean, most people, because that's what's so much fun about this podcast is most people, they're in dental school and they're graduating and they're like, what the heck am I going to do? How do I get to where you're at? How do I get to where Donnie's at? You know, how do I get to where Holsinger's at? And that is a tough question because there's different things that you've done that I've done, but it's gotten us to really cool, unique places that a lot of our classmates aren't at. So what do you feel like what are some things you've done or has made you kind of tick to get here? Cause you've done this, mind you, too, with how many kids do you have?
Two.
So you got two kids, you know, and you're building other practices. I mean, how do you do that?
It's tough, man. You gotta have a wife that like believes in your vision. So, that's been the struggle lately, not because of her, just cause I've added more stuff to the plate. So I mean, I have to mentally figure out how that works. And I know guys struggle with that when they get into doing more stuff, but, I mean, learn early. Like I was listening to, Mark Costa's podcast this week and he had this kid on that blew me away. It was an older one, but this kid was in dental school and he had already been to like Breakaway and Spear and like, and I never thought about. Like I literally just tried to get to the last day of dental school as fast as I possibly could with doing the absolute minimal work that I could. I like sucked up to my preceptor so I could just work out half the day and not be in school. Like, I mean, and then you get out and you're like, dude, I don't know anything.
Yeah. Yeah. Shit. I gotta survive. Like,
I mean, like putting a Toffelmeyer on, don't know anything. So, I mean, I just started to do education and just going to a lot of stuff. And, you know, the cool part about the place I'm at and was is like our shop never shuts down. Like I, you know, if I want to go fly out on a Wednesday night to take a long course or travel or something, we have associates that fill in. So I know that's tough for guys that are by themselves. Cause you shut down shop to go to Spear for 4 days and
yeah, it's hard.
You're paying the course money and you're losing whatever your production is for the day. So that's been really nice. And man, I really kicked it off when we got digital and like it was interesting because we were approached by a lot of different companies and at our size and where we are, like that happens frequently. But so the way we got into digital, this guy was a grad student and I've heard more stories like this. He was a grad student at UVA. And his partner's dad owned a cosmetic lab in California. And so their graduate project, they got some funding and they went all in on buying like 23 shapes. And so their deal was they'd come to you, they'd put a 3-shape in your office for free with the idea that you sent a certain number of units to their dad's lab per month. And then there was a write-up per unit cost. It was basically double the cost. And they would design it for you. So the whole idea was like, oh, your assistant has to do this all, prep the tooth, walk out of the room, they'll do it, we'll design it. And I started to get some stuff back, and like, I'm like, this is no more control than like me just taking a PBS impression and walking out. So I'm like, oh, this is not going to work. And in the back of my mind, I'm like, dude, you really fucking excited me about this stuff. Like, sorry that I'm not going to make your company any money. But then we went straight to Henry Schein. And then the first iteration was 3 scanners, 1 milling station at 1 office. And we thought like we could remotely scan
them
on
that 1 miller.
Yeah, send them one to all to the mill. And then they would like get it back to us because the doctors were still rotating. And still, like, you would, you know, you'd have one person designing it, one person milling it. Like, sometimes it shit and just didn't jive. And so then we were like, okay, we got to go all in on this. And so from there, it's like, man, that's really opened up, because I was looking for a way to get out of this like 40 patients a day thing. And I've tried to retrain, and it's been the toughest thing in our practice to like, for the team to put a higher value on us than 3 class 2 fillings in an hour. Like, stop shoving my schedule with this stuff. Like, I can't, if you want me to reach a goal that you guys can reach and make like share in a profit out of it, then stop doing that shit. Like, so that was the best way to like, I could slow down my schedule and say, okay, you have to give me XYZ amount of time for this. You can overlap like halfway through the schedules. We started at 2 hours, but at least it like filled up my schedule on the books, so they couldn't just like shove them something any which ways.
Yeah.
And then the idea was like, okay, let's fill those bigger slots with more stuff. So then I, like, recently in the last 6 months, I have like been jamming on endo. Like, I mean, that's my piece right now, man. Like, nice. Today I thought
that's not my piece right now.
I gotta get to it, man. I'm telling you. So I saw 3 patients, 8 single units, 3 same day crowns. That's all I did. And maybe like 2 hygiene checks, because I had an associate that checked all 3 hygienists all day.
That's pretty nice. He's living the dream right there.
The associate hygiene checker, though, that is living the dream.
I think that's what I am right now.
You are. You're the associate hygiene checker. In beta, that's kind of a good thing.
I'm just a professional.
Hey, what endo system are you using?
Tulsa. ProTaper Gold.
Oh, wow.
Jam. You're like a Decamendodontist.
Yeah, that's what Decamendodontist is used.
None of that. No, I'm just Wave One, you know, GP.
No, Wave One's good. But like, no, man, I've actually, this is a funny story, ironically, today. You guys know Bill Clater, ask Dr. Bill. He's a CRAC trainer, endo teacher, speaks a lot. Anyways, I interviewed him on my podcast, and I had a day similar to yours. And I didn't have his audio channel recording, so we went through a 1-hour podcast interview, and I don't have his audio.
Rookie move.
He's coming down to teach a EndoCAD efficiency course. He speaks for a Tulsa Sorona pretty often cool. About it.
Oh, that's great.
But yeah, man. So like, you picture. So do you refer out all your endo?
I mean, no, besides, we keep all our endo in house. I mean, the only endo, you know, Dad'll do it or I'll do it, but the only endo we'll refer out is. I've gotten to the point now where. Well, probably most retreats. I actually did a retreat the other day, but most retreats. And then I will also pick and choose. Like, today's that, you know, 4 canals on 15. If it was a cash paying patient, so, but if it had been like a Blue Cross Blue Shield where my reimbursement's $600, then right. I would have been like, oh, hell no. Send that to the end on us, you know?
Right.
Just because it doesn't, from a time standpoint, it doesn't make sense. Right. Like you said, I'm trying to kind of get better at that. Tell me this. So I love this too, because, you know, I'm a huge CEREC person. Everybody knows that probably. And then you use E4D, and you're totally. As far as CAD/CAM dentistry goes, how big of an impact do you think that has on your practice, your patients? Is that something that you wouldn't now when you buy another practice, that's something you're quickly implementing, or, you know,
first
is
thing
that
I buy.
Something? So it is the first thing. And that's what I want to talk to you to kind of expound on this, because, like, you know, dentist graduates, they're trying to figure out what the heck they spend money on. You know, what do you think?
That's the first thing I buy, honestly.
To me, it's probably the second thing, but keep going.
So this is what I'll tell you the difference is in, at least our, like, how we implemented is a little bit differently than what you guys are trained. Your training, I feel like from the outside looking in, is a lot more developed with the connection between cone beam and CAD/CAM. Ours is not. And I love my company, but they don't have it down to commit the technologies together. And that's actually one of the topics that I want to help teach on this summer. But so if I have six doctors working, now I have three systems. That's a major expense. But the volume we do per day, if I did eight, now I didn't see what my other guys did, but in a day's time, I mean, that's like, it takes us 3 days to make three or four. It takes us 1 week a month to make, to do the number of units that pay for that, all those systems. And yeah, then we have three weeks of absolute just profit.
Like, to me, it's simple math. I think it is like that. If you just take it, even what you do from a unit standpoint, and we're not talking about impression material, temporary material, chair time, that sort of thing. To me, it becomes a no. You know, people are like, "Well, yeah, I don't want to do this. I want to sit me." And one of the things I love about it is I think it makes you a better dentist.
Oh yeah, no, totally, man. Yeah, this is a funny story. This is actually what got me like excited in this company that came to me with a 3Shape. This is why I said yes. I was at a Zimmer. We do a lot of Zimmer implant placement. I was at a Zimmer course in Parsippany, New Jersey, and I met the ex-marketing CMO for Glidewell. And so he said he left Glidewell. This is one of the reasons, lots of reasons, but one of the reasons was when you walk into Glidewell, and I don't know where their numbers are. We don't use them anymore, but I don't know where their numbers are. At the time when Bruxer came out, like, I mean, they were just jamming out crowns.
I think they're still pretty insane.
I'm sure they are. But he said that, so in a room, and I have this in all my lectures, I have a picture of it, in all the rooms there, like there's a guy or a couple guys in the front, and then there's a bunch of stations. Everybody has a computer and they're designing crowns, and you have a mouse and the computer clicks, your mouse clicks. So like, if you think how long it takes you, how many clicks it takes you to design a crown in CIRAC, sometimes you get pretty wild about, you know, if you're doing an anterior or something, you get pretty intense.
Lost in two worlds. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. So this computer, each computer station tracks the number of clicks that these guys do, and buzzers start going off on their computer when they get to a certain number of clicks. So what I noticed was I'd be getting these crowns back, and like it was like an inverted occlusal table or like a buckle wall that they just forgot. So they like ran out of clicks and they just had to print.
Yeah.
They had to push mil.
Basically, you had to get done so fast.
No way. Man. I'm done with this.
That's crazy.
That was it. I was like, I'm out. I'm out. So I don't use them for much anymore, but.
Then you add more clicks.
Yeah. I think that's as simple. If you're listening to this, Glidewell,
just add more clicks.
Add more clicks. People will be happier.
Give us five more.
That's all we need. Okay. So moving from CAD CAM, what are your, I mean, it sounds like you do pretty much everything. What do you not do? Do you do everything, or what do you not do?
No soft tissue stuff. I mean, that's what I want to get to, Dr. Chow's pinhole stuff, but
yep, it's a good course.
Only thing I haven't gotten into really.
Depressed about that you haven't gotten into the soft tissue portion of it.
It's expensive, man.
It is expensive. Chow is very, very, he's very happy about his course. He thinks it's very, which it is a good course. I take the course. I do some soft tissue stuff. I want to learn how to do connective tissue grafts actually now. But yeah, it's a good course. Soft tissue, it's, you know, it's like everything. You pick and choose cases that are good or easy.
Yeah, so soft tissue, and then like some pretty advanced bone stuff. We don't do a lot of like real like titanium mesh grafts and stuff like that.
I'm super excited about it. I'm going to Picos all next week.
Nice.
In Tampa for advanced bone grafting. So yeah, I'm going to be doing so much titanium mesh when I come back. It's like a freaking mesh party. I'm going to be like, socket preservation? Let's bring out the mesh.
Yeah.
Let's just build this bone just for kicks. You know what I can build? Are you doing any ortho?
Yeah, actually, my dad, I was doing some ortho this weekend. We, lots of ortho.
What ortho are you doing?
Straight wire. Okay. Standard straight wire, and then a lot of Invisalign. And my dad took Jay Gerber. He actually used to be the ortho instructor at LVI, teaches the neuromuscular orthodontics in West Virginia of all places, right? So, and he's a general dentist, and he speaks all over the world. He's really famous. And so I know that my dad's been doing ortho for like 25 years. Like, it was one of the first things, like the timing of me getting into of digital was like the timing of him getting into ortho. And it blew me away at like this idea of like, it's not a passive income outside of dentistry, but it's like this, you got like, you know, he probably has 100 cases active right now. Like just every month there's an income stream from something, and it's not like backbreaking labor. It's not like, you know, taking out third molars and hoping they come out in 45 minutes. Like, you know, he sees the patients for 5 minutes, 10 minutes every month, says hi to the parents. And so we're really trying to, as he pushes him or pulls himself out here, like, we don't want to lose that. It's a nice, so we're trying to figure out how,
can. Yeah, that's a lot of knowledge right there. Cause like, it's not easy to go learn how to do traditional straight wire ortho.
So that's what I have been really pushing myself into. Now, the interesting part is like my other partner, Dr. Kuhn, he's big into Invisalign, and he went to the Invisalign Summit a couple months ago. And there's a bunch of orthodontists speaking, saying, now, obviously they're paid by Invisalign, but this idea that straight wire is soon to be no more just because of like, you can do, it's dangerous in the wrong hands, and there's a lot of GPs doing it and maybe not have a lot of training in it. So I don't know. I'm interested to see that, but,
no, I think you're right. I mean, the more they're learning how to do a lot of different stuff with Invisalign now, and things you couldn't do four years ago, you can do now. Mm-hmm. So it will be interesting to see how that.
And I feel like Invisalign has been kind of looking more like traditional braces now with all the attachments they're putting on and everything. It's like when they first started, it was just like, here's a clear tray, put that in there. And then they couldn't get any anchorage and you couldn't really move a tooth. And then, I know when I had Invisalign, my case was pretty simple, and I had probably, I don't know, 15, 16 attachments. And I mean, I was like, wow, I got
braces.
Are
you doing any of the 3D printing with liners?
I'm trying to. So we actually were playing the system a little bit. We're under one Invisalign account. Don't tell anybody that. I just told everybody that.
It's okay. We're under like one account for a lot of things too.
No, my
name is the same as my dad. So it's like,
So
they got two plaques with the same name on it.
We get a decent discount on Invisalign. So I'm not sure we'll stop that because that's a nice treat. But these other cases like Invisalign Lite and stuff, you don't get any breaks and none of that really counts towards anything. So yeah, that's actually, I'm just signing up with Exceed to start doing that. Cause like one, I feel like I can do a lot more of those cases that when I tell a patient, it's like $3,500.
Tell people about Exceed, because I think that's pretty cool. Cause that's different than what I'm doing with the Blue Sky software. I may switch to Exceed. So talk about that.
Yeah. So especially for me, because, doing straight wire and clear aligner. So, If I get a full arch scan and I can do this again with straight wire or clear aligners, I send it to them and then they mock up. They have a similar software like ClinCheck. They send it to you. You approve it or change it or whatever, attachments and everything. And they send you the model STLs. You print them all and then you do suck downs of them.
So and you have So you're basically fabricating your own aligners in office. They just do all the work.
Yes. And you pay them like $240.
$240? Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's pretty nice compared to what's Invisalign's typical lab bill, like $1,650. Shoo, that's why I don't do that. Yeah, that's why I went and took 6 months smiles, because I was like, one's a $700 lab bill and one's a $1,700 lab bill. So I was like, just mathematically, it doesn't mean And then you have to charge a crap ton. And if I'm going to compete with an orthodontist anyway, it's like, I can't charge the same as they do. Cause why would they come to me?
Yeah. You know? Right. And then everybody, like the problem is these orthodontists that do such volume Invisalign, because it's all like a market thing. Like somebody will call, that's how they call and say, how much is your Invisalign? Oh, $5,500. And they just call until they get a lower number. Like that's all they do. And so a lot of these orthodontists with all these scan nights and stuff that do such volume, They price the market down. Hey, we're actually doing a scan night, so I won't.
I love it. Don't you get blast scan.
Tell us more about a scan night. What is a scan night?
We don't know this.
A disciple of scanning.
Yeah. Let me hear the scan night.
So we're gonna. He's really excited about the Zytero, right? So we're gonna have. I'm picturing like this DJ in our office. Yes. Like no, but so we invite people and we're going back to cases and patients we're like excited and maybe dropped off somehow, cost or otherwise, and bringing them into the office. We'll have a night. We'll Facebook Live there. we're going to offer some incentive to sign up. We'll give away some stuff, give away a case, probably a couple Apple Watches. And we'll work out some good financial arrangement to get people really amped up about signing right there. He wants to do no down payment. I said he's crazy, but so
but it's just a scan night. Anything can happen.
Yeah, it's like a scan rave, it sounds like.
That's right, man.
I love this, though, because this is the kind of stuff that our generation is doing differently than them before, and how we can figure out how to get people to do treatment and move forward. Because ultimately, like, you're like me, Don. I mean, I don't want to work any more than I have to. I'm trying to cut back. I want to do other things. I have my family. And so, like, I'm going to figure out ways to do that. Like, I'm not going to just cut crowns and fillings all day long. Are you going to do that, Holzinger?
I don't want to.
No.
Yeah. Little kids, when they're two, they yell at me anyway.
How was your experience at Case?
It was good. Actually, I really enjoyed it. I won't spout on our state school, but it's not the same. The cool thing about Case is it's a private school, so I'm going to pay forever on my school loan. But they have adult Medicare and Medicaid. So we don't have that in the state of Virginia. So they got a lot of stuff for free. Like, endos were 100% covered. If you did an endo, the crown was 100% covered. All the fillings were 100% covered. I don't really think there was a max. Yeah. So like I hooked on to like four or five. I actually had this guy that he came every Tuesday and Thursday from 1 to 5. Every Tuesday and Thursday from 1 to 5. Wow. My entire third year.
He's rebuilt.
Oh my God. And then my preceptor was like, well, you have to put temporary fillings in first because he's so periodontically involved. So I did all his class twos in some kind of temporary. I don't even remember what it was.
And that's the craziest concept. A temporary filling.
Yeah.
That is a crazy concept, by the way.
She's a dean of a dental school now. But anyway.
What is the difference between a freaking temporary filling and a normal filling? It like takes the exact same like, what the heck?
But it's more points in dental school,
it's
right?
More points.
Yeah, that's right. There you go, my man.
More points, and they make more money, I guess. But that is the stupidest. Dude, today, I literally, this onlay thing, I was like, I'm not doing an MODBL. I was like, just charge them a filling. My life, I only have so many, you know, part beats, and I'm not wasting any more trying to fill this. Just made me do an onlay. Okay, sorry.
No, you're good.
Whew,
so anyways, like 3/4 of the way through the school year, his social worker called me and she was like, you realize we're paying like $100 or some, I think it was like $100 for his, he wasn't in a wheelchair, but they sent a wheelchair van to pick him up. And that was what was covered under his insurance. She's like, we were paying like $100 twice a week to get him to and from your dental school. And I'm like, okay, I'm just going to call him a $10 cab. Like, fine, I won't use your covered thing anymore. But like, he's getting me through dental school by showing up. So.
He was front row on when you walked to graduation. He's like, that's my guy. Yeah. Get him in the after party.
So yeah, we had pretty big clinics. We each had our own operatory, so my stuff was set up.
Oh, wow, that's nice. That is
super nice.
Yeah. We had all these buckets. We had to carry around Tupperware buckets. All our stuff everywhere.
Yeah. Oh, man. And my dad gave me like his 1975 Cavatron, like the first issue thing. It was like yellow stained plastic.
Wow.
And like, I loved it, man, because everybody else was scaling with hand instruments. I'm like, man, this is the jam.
They would have freaking been like, yeah, you can't use that. You got a hand scale.
Yeah, that's like taking steroids in baseball.
That's pretty clutch. Yeah. Did y'all have all the specialists there? Did y'all get to do a lot of specialty procedures?
Not really, man. You know what? I still, to this day, like, I haven't given him a dollar yet. And,
me neither.
I haven't given my school a buck
either.
Yeah.
I hope he's watching, but the dean. So like I was going through, you guys know Aaron Garg, implant seminars.
Oh, yeah.
Out of Miami. Okay. Yeah. So I've been trained by Aaron and Arun. And, so I actually started that my fourth year and,
really?
I went to the dean. Yeah.
Love that.
He did a continuum in Cleveland, totally luck of the draw, 4 weekends. So I went to the dean and I'm like, how about this? Like, there's 15 people from our class taking this course. Can we place an implant or two before we graduate? Like, we understand the basics. Like, we'll do it with, with the attendings, like let's make
we'll
this happen.
We literally let them hold our hand. Just let us.
Yeah, I mean,
let us put the screw in.
He's like, what is the value of you placing two implants before you graduate? And
huge. I didn't have
yeah, I know. But at the time, I'm like, okay, Dean, whatever you say. Like, I'm just get me through this thing. And then come into the real world and I place my first two implants and I'm like, the guy seeing me, my hand is like,
yeah,
you know, like to place two implants in school would have been
huge. Awesome. Yeah, I'd argue placing one implant in school would be because it's the first one's the hardest. I mean,
did you place any in school?
No, gosh, no. Yeah, I barely got to watch one. It was like, you know, you had to. The best part about school too was like when you watched one, you had to be like completely fully gowned. Like it was like I was going in for a heart transplant. I'm like, I mean, don't touch anything. Like, yeah. You know, you're like, really? Like, it's dagrum. It's the oral cavity. Like, you know, much bacteria is in here.
Yeah.
That's what I always remember. It's like the scrubbing in freaking implant.
Yeah, the
like,
mouth gets your hands.
Well,
dirty,
my dad was always like, "You should go watch." I'm like, I don't want to be there for 6 hours for a five, what should be a 15-minute procedure either. So like, I was already gone, having fun. So that was my next question. Actually, was you're placing implants, you're doing all that stuff. Where mm-hmm. so you did GARGS, continuing in Miami. Did you go down mm-hmm. to the Dominican and like? Just place a bunch.
No,
or did you just do totally didactic and then place your first one on your patient?
Yeah, he didn't have that because this was like, I took his continuum in fourth year and I took his like whatever his next level is, the advanced level, my first year out. And so he didn't start the Dominican thing till a couple of years later. But I did like, his pig jaw and I did some cadaver stuff and then I just went for it. And so
do you think that was good? I mean, would you recommend people do that? Or like in hindsight, like was it good for you to do that? Or would you have wanted to place implants on somebody? Or, I mean, because now there's a lot of courses, obviously. That do that, but they're also expensive.
I would have loved that. Like your first 50 implants when you just have questions that just stupid things, but no one can answer them. You're just doing it. So like to be able to do that with instructors, I think would have been invaluable. I mean, I even think now it'd be cool to go back and do that. I just don't have the time or money or energy to get into it. So
yeah, you know what I found is interesting with implants is like the more I do, the more I realize like what I need to do better and what I talk about this a lot. But I love so much being a general dentist because like mm-hmm. I really see the whole picture happen, and like, I learn more about implant placement when I'm restoring the implant,
mm-hmm.
you know, that I do anything. And now, like now we're getting to the point where we're doing a lot more full arch stuff. And I was talking to my dad mm-hmm. about today because dad did a big 6 implant, you know, bunch of extractions, 6 implants mm-hmm. for a locator denture. And I mm-hmm. was like, the problem is like, you kind of put them in there and like everything goes good surgically, but mm-hmm. it's, you know, you really, we're going to learn more on the, when it comes uncovery time to do the locators. And you're like, I'm like this one, you know, you don't even know it that's what, so to me, it's such an invaluable mm-hmm. asset to be able to restore the mm-hmm. implant. So I think you learn a lot there. Anywho.
Yeah. But man, even the, like doing, like I've been in guided for not that long.
How much guided are you doing now? Just freehanding?
Basically every case is guided.
Oh, wow.
Unless it's like a last minute. You know, we can't mill guides, so it couldn't be like a quick turnaround. I can only 3D print with our system. So, you know, if a patient wants to come back the next day or something. So if it's something immediate that we're doing right then and there, patient's in the chair, then I won't. But pretty much everything. But these like big locator cases or hybrids or all on fours, man, those are so much easier with guided stuff. If they're like partially edentulous, you can save enough teeth. Extract the teeth you're placing implants in. I mean, it's pretty golden.
How are you doing?
I really
that?
Like
it. Are you using a company to do that, or how are you planning that?
I'm using Blue Sky Bio because my company is not FDA approved to do it yet.
Classic. So are you? So you're? What? Did you take any of Blue Sky Bio's courses, or are you just?
No, just YouTubed it.
That's fantastic. I love it. We should probably talk more about that. I need to do that. All right. Well, fantastic. What else you got, Holsinger?
Man, I want to hear about the Solios. Tell me you have like a CE course that involves playing golf.
Yeah, tell us about this.
Tell us about
your adventures.
What I was most excited about.
So this is my brainchild, man. So my dad, when he was in dental school, he always tells this story, but he drove this Subaru that he had to start with a screwdriver. So my parents are both pharmacists. My dad was out for like 3 months and he's like, this sucks. I'm going back to something else. So he went back to dental school. That next fall, he started dental school.
That is fantastic.
And so he moonlighted as a pharmacist when he was just starting out and, you know, he didn't have any patients. And so as his license plate, he was a big runner. And his license plate was RUNUMYT, and everybody thought it was a running thing or whatever, but it was RUNUMYT. That was his little deal. And so he got rid of it like about one time I graduated. And so I was like, man, this I'm gonna pick this up, man. That's badass. So that's it's cool, on my car now. It's on my car now, and you know, I've had this thing of like back to like the way he practices and trying to change like the idea of what the value is of the dentist in a practice, but this high volume, like just cranking out stuff. He's had a tough, this PPO style for the last 30 years. And it's still not easy, but he's had a tough career, man. And I, that's what I'm trying to get away
it's
from.
It's hard on your body, man. Value.
It is mentally, emotionally, all the above, a family thing. Wife's the office manager. Like he's spent. And so that's the play on this thing is like we're freaking numb in this profession. Like I mean there's probably dentists that don't rock it hard, but man, I know like I end a day and like man, it is
it's like a hamster wheel.
It's crazy.
Yeah.
And then you add the ownership part and the multi practice part, and so
oh, and now what's happening is people are graduating with so many student loans. You have to. I mean, you're forced to into this like rat race of a just grind just to freaking make ends meet.
Yeah. So I got into T-Bone's thing. I just invited myself into that thing completely.
You did.
And I was still like hammered that morning. And I just I don't know what I was getting into, but it was for a reason, man. But so then my brainchild is to like an advanced continuum, like peer to peer thing on just getting guys that are pushing the envelope and making it like a retreat style thing. So even this CE I went to this past weekend, Dr. Gerber is a fantastic educator, but God, man, by day two, you're like, I got to do something. Like I can't sit in this room in this chair and drink another coffee. Like I've had enough.
It's brutal.
And I feel like there's so much CE like that. It's just so dry. And I mean, there's good stuff to learn. And I still have a lot to learn, but it can be different. Like it doesn't have to be like that.
No, I agree.
So absolutely. This idea is like, you know, centered around the attendees as much as the guys teaching it. Like if I have a group of 12 E4D guys and they want to learn screw retain crowns and we're not like it's not on the docket, like fuck it. Let's teach on screw retain crowns. Yeah, like there's 12 guys here. Let's get value out of this. And so these events are 2-day events at this golf club. It's just a golf club. It just changed from men's only. So it's got that kind of feel of like, you know, old smoky cigar. Like everybody takes caddies when they golf. It's pretty dope, man. And so it's way out in the country.
Nice.
And they have lodging on site. So we're just going to kick it. Fire pit, like cigars, dude, bourbon. Fantastic.
Man, when are we gonna be there?
What is your first? Do you have dates yet, or do you have any idea? Okay, so let us hear some of your dates, and what's the initial focus going to be?
So initially, I'm going to take two tracks. I'm going to take the E4D track, and I'm going to teach CRAC as well. And I'm just a facilitator, so I'm bringing in some pretty dope speakers, much smarter than I am. I realized that I didn't know clearly enough to teach people yet. Now I have a lot to like. Contribute, but sure. I think there's some good minds out there and that enjoy doing this and would be happy to do it. And they have been. So we're going to do two or three CRAC based courses, one with just some advanced training, like some smile design, screw retain crowns, bridges, that sort of thing, kind of like a level two or level three, I think you call it. And then a fully digital implant workflow with a guided live surgery component. And then E4D, we're going to do sort of the same thing, a smile design, a 3D implant workflow, an assistant course, and then we're going to do this EndoCAD efficiency. And then I'd like to kind of expand into some other things, sleep and you know, I got some other ideas. So that's where I'm starting.
Dude, I want to, that would be fantastic. I think another one would be kind of fun is like a business one.
Yeah.
I'm talking about multiple practice or just different business topics would be kind of interesting.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I'm trying to wrap my head around what guys, I haven't been to enough of those to know what like guys are looking for in those courses.
No, sure.
You know, I'd like to get the breakaway. I think that's a pretty good one to hear kind of where they push guys. But yeah, no, that's certainly a topic. And there's a lot more of this trend towards multi-practice ownership. And I think it's only going to increase as these guys age out. And you know, some of us are looking to acquire their practices and either keep that location or just kind of merge into ours. So no, I think you're right. But I'm excited, man. I'm like, I've jumped the cliff and made the investments and putting the time in. And now I'm just praying that people show up.
Oh, I think people will. So yeah. What are the dates? Do you have the dates on hand?
So, yeah. So March 9th and 10th, these will all be Friday, Saturday events. And everything's included. It's a total package thing. And so lodging, two rounds of golf, caddies, all the beer you can drink, all the cigars you can smoke, 8 hours of education. And so March 9th and 10th, we're going to do the advanced CIRAC restorative course. And Justin Gates is teaching that. He's a CIRAC speaker out of Maryland. Actually, out of Virginia. He is. Really, really, really cool guy. And then July 13th and 14th is the CIRAC 3D implant workflow. And Mina Barsoom is going to teach that. And I'm going to whoop his ass in golf. And then... That's
what
I'm
was that
to,
July what? I'm writing these down.
13th and 14th.
July 13th and 14th.
All right.
We have an Indo CAD course on June 8th. That's a 1-day Friday course. And then you guys don't give a shit about E4D courses, but
some people might though. I don't, but some people might.
April 20 to 21st, we have the 3D implant workflow for E4D. And August 3rd and 4th, we have the advanced smile design and anterior finishing for E4D. In October 12th and 13th, we're going to do the E4D assistant course. That's what's on the docket.
You probably need to email me that, but I wrote it down. Absolutely. That way I can add that in like the show notes so people know. That'll be legit. I may try to come the 9th and 10th. I definitely want to come kick it. Really, I just want to come hang out and play golf.
Yeah, no, absolutely.
Sounds pretty fun.
That's what I'm hoping.
Less worried about the CE at this point.
No, I'm with
you,
buddy.
How to design a stainless steel crown there.
Yeah.
Yes. Custom build.
Pedo for the general dentist. Maybe the whole singer can be your guy, you know? And basically you just tell him to refer it all out because it's a loss leader. it makes me no money. My kid's area is getting demoed into a console room next month, so I'm pretty excited about it.
Probably a smart plan.
Yeah, yes, I'm pumped too.
Oh, me. Yeah, that is going to be more beneficial to you than I'm losing my kids' area. But anywho, you got anything else?
Man, that was great, man. Thanks for spending some time with us and just.
Absolutely, man.
It's good to talk to another 2010 graduate.
That's yes. Right. You're 20 again.
2010.
Yep. Dude, this is a blast. I think it's fantastic. You're killing it. You know that. If anybody wants to reach out to you, how do they get in touch with you?
Areyounumyet.com, spelled out areyounumyet.com.
Areyounumyet. That's so good. I love Donnie. Donnie's in a tank top right now.
Oh,
we really get along very well, I think, because we don't really give a shit about what else. We're going to do it the way we want to do it. We're going to have fun doing it. You know what? It's working.
Yeah,
so Everybody needs to learn to quit. You know, if you're listening to this podcast, you probably get it because you've made it this long in the podcast, but you wouldn't care at this point. But, anywho, thanks everybody for listening. Donnie, thanks so much for being here. We will definitely get all that stuff about. Everybody, take his course. I'm going to go. It's going to be fun. He's bringing in some big people. So even though he is E4D and, you know, it's a subpar machine, I'm sure it'll be entertaining. So
yeah.
So all right, everybody.
Keep working smarter.
Not harder. Is that right? Work smarter? Yes, it is. Work smarter, not harder. All right.
All right.
We'll talk to you later, Donnie. Thanks, buddy.
Peace,
thanks,
guys.
Thanks, Donnie.
Have a good night.
See ya.
Thank you for listening to The Millennial Dentist. Visit us online at millennialdentist.com.